Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, so we're reading chapter 84, and we're on text 1. So I'll read the introduction first, and then we'll do the sloka. This chapter describes the arrival of great sages at Kurukshetra to observe the auspicious occasion of a solar eclipse. The sages' glorification of Lord Krishna and Vasudeva's enthusiastic performance of sacrifices. On the occasion of a solar eclipse at Kurukshetra, exalted ladies like Kunti, Draupadi, and Subhadra got the chance to associate with Lord Krishna's queens. Seeing how much the Lord's consorts loved their husbands, the ladies were struck with wonder. As the women talked amongst themselves, and the men did likewise, great sages headed by Narada and Vyasadeva arrived there, desiring to see Lord Krishna. The various kings and other leading personalities who were sitting at their leisure, including the Pandavas, Krishna and Balaram, stood up as soon as they saw the sages. The leaders all bowed down to the great souls, inquired about their well-being, and worshipped them by offering them sitting places, water, and so on. Lord Krishna then said, "Now our lives are successful, for we have obtained the goal of life, the audience of great sages and yoga masters, which even demigods only rarely obtain. The water at a holy place of pilgrimage and the deity forms of God of the gods can purify one only after a long time, but saintly sages purify just by being seen. Those who identify themselves with their bodies and neglect to honor transcendental sages like you are no better than asses." After hearing Lord Krishna speak these words in the mood of a mere mortal, the sages remained silent for some time, bewildered. Then they said, "How amazing our Lord is! He covers his true identity with human-like activities and pretends to be subject to superior control. Surely he has spoken in this way only to enlighten the general populace. Such behavior of his is indeed inconceivable." The sages continued to glorify the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul, and the friend and worshiper of the Brahmanas. After the sages had praised him, Lord Krishna offered them his obeisances, and they begged his permission to return to their hermitages. But just then, Vasudeva came forward, bowed to the sages, and asked, "What activities can one perform to be freed from the bondage of fruitive work?" The sages replied, "By worshipping the Supreme Lord Hari, through the performance of Vedic sacrifices, you will become freed from the bondage of fruitive work." Vasudeva then requested the sages to act as his priests, and he arranged for Vedic sacrifices to be performed with super excellent paraphernalia. Afterwards, Vasudeva presented the priests with valuable gifts of cows and jewelry, and also with marriageable Brahmana girls. He then performed the ritual bath, marking the end of the sacrifice, and fed everyone sumptuously, even the village dogs. Next, he gave ample gifts to his relatives, the various kings and others, who all took Sri Krishna's leave and returned to their own homes. Unable to depart because of his intense affection for his relatives, Nanda Maharaj remained at Kurukshetra for 3 months, served with reverence by the Yadavas. On one occasion, Vasudeva began to describe the deep friendship Nanda had shown him, shedding tears openly. At the end of 3 months, Nanda left for Mathura with the fond farewells of all the Yadavas. When the Yadavas finally saw that the rainy season was about to begin, they returned to Dwarka, where they related all that had happened at Kurukshetra to the residents of their capital. Okay, text 1. Shisuku vacha, Shrutva prita subala putrata agya seni Yagyasana. Madhyata Shiti Papatnaya Uttasva Gopya. Krishne Kilatma Niharo Pranayanu Bandham. Sarva Vishimur Alam Ashru Kala Kulakshya. Shishuka Vacha. Shrutva Prita Subala Putrata Yagna Seni. Madhavyata Kshipa Patnya Uta Svagopya. Krishne Kilatma Niharo Pranayanu Bandham. Sarva Vishmayur Alam Ashru Kala Kulakshya. Shrutva Prita Subala Putrata Yagnaseni. Madhya Yata Shitipa Patna Utasva Gopya. Krishne Kilatma Nihara Pranayana Bandham. Sarva Vishinya. Shisuko Vacha. Putra Ata Yaseni. Krishne Kilatma Nihara Pranayana Bandham. Sarva Vishishma. Matajis. Shrutva Prita Subala Putra Tathya. Krishne Kilatma Nihara Panayana Mandam. Sarva Vishishu Alakasha. The students want to try. Shisuka Vacha. Shrutva Prita Subala Putra Tavagna Seni. Madha Yata Shikita Satna Vasa Gopya. Krishne Kilatma Nihara Pranayana Bandham. Shisuka Vacha. Shrutva Prita Subala Putrata Yagna Seni. Sarva Vishim Yulamash Shisuka Vacha Shrutva Prita Subala Putra Yagna Seni Krishne Kilatmani Hara Pranayana Bandham Sarva Vishishyur Alam Ashru Kalakvalaksha Shisuka Vacha Shrutva Prita Subala Putra Tavyagna Seni Madhva Ata Shrutva Pratna Putra Sagopya Krishne Kilatmani Haro Pranayana Bandham Very nice. Shishuka Vacha. Shukadev Goswami said, Shrutva, hearing, Prita, Kunti, Subala Putri, Gandhari, the daughter of King Shubha. Ata, and Yagyaseni, Draupadi. Why was Draupadi's name Yagyaseni? Does anybody know? That's right, because she was born from a fire sacrifice, a yagya. Madhavi, Subhadra, Ata, and Shitipa, of the king. Patnya, the wives. Uta, also. Sva, Lord Krishna's own. Gopya, gopis. Krishne, to Krishna. Akila, of all. Atmani, the soul. Haro, the Supreme Lord Hari. Pranaya, loving. Anubandham, attachment. Sarva, all of them. Vishishmu, become amazed. Alam, greatly. Ashrukala, with tears. Akula, filling. Aksha, whose eyes? Okay, translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Sukadev Goswami said, Prita, Gandhari, Draupadi, Subhadra, and the wives of other kings and the Lord's cowherd girlfriends were all amazed to hear of the Queen's deep love for Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and soul of all beings, and their eyes filled with tears. Purport. Draupadi is the chief hearer in this assembly of exalted women, since as explained by Sridhar Swami, She had asked the questions that Lord Krishna's queens answered by relating their respective stories. Since Gandhari and the other ladies named here were not even mentioned in the previous chapters as having been present, Acharya Sridhar concludes that they must have heard the queen's narrations only secondhand. Indeed, Draupadi would never have spoken so freely in the presence of Pritha and Gandhari, her elders, or before the gopis, whose attitude towards the queens of Dwarka was not particularly sympathetic, even though the gopis joined in shedding tears. It was more because of their being reminded of Sri Krishna's pastimes than because of any loving affinity between them and the queens. We should remember, of course, that there is always perfect harmony on the spiritual platform. Apparent conflict between pure devotees is nothing like mundane envy and strife. The jealousy of the gopis was more show than substance, being exhibited by them as an ecstatic symptom of their overflowing love for Krishna. Srila Sridhar Swamipad further analyzes the phrase svagopya as implying that these gopis were the queens svasvarupa, the original prototypes of whom the queens were specific expansions. Omagyana timirandasya jananjana salakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. So here we have the conclusion of all the queens offering their stories about how they became the queens of Krishna. And we know that Gandhari, who knows who Gandhari is? The mother of and how many Kauravas were there? 101. Yes, who was the one? That's right. That's right. He had one daughter and 100 sons. So Gandhari, there was something special about Gandhari. She's considered such a chaste wife. And why was that? Does anyone know why? Yes? Yeah. That's right. It was an arranged marriage for her. And she was a princess in a great palace. She was very wealthy family. She was very aristocratic. She was a princess. And she was to marry a blind king. So immediately when she heard that her husband was to be blind, she didn't want to be greater than her husband. So she put a cloth around her eyes so that she would not be greater than her husband. She didn't want to be thinking that, oh, I'm seeing all this and he can't see anything. I'm better. Because pride is there in all of us, right? There's a little bit of pride. We do something good and we think, oh, I am so great. Yeah, I'm better than that person. I can do that much better than that person. And then pride comes up. We start feeling so great. And what does it say? There's a saying, pride comes before something. The fall. Yes. So if we get too proud, we'll get smashed. We'll be shown to be very small. So Gandhari put this cloth around her eyes so that she wouldn't be greater than her husband. And she stayed like that her whole life, except for one time. Does anyone know one time? That's right. Duryodhan came to get blessings from Gandhari. She said, please come to me before going. And what happened? She took her blindfold off to see him. But before that, something had happened. Yes?
She had asked him to come with her to God, but Krishna had somehow convinced him that now you're grown up, so you shouldn't do that. So he made him cover himself so he's vulnerable.
That's right. Did everyone hear that? Yeah, Krishna, he had come. Gandhari had said, come to me naked. So on his way there.
Yeah.
So on his way there, Krishna said, how can you do this? How can you present yourself? You're a grown man. You're presenting yourself naked before a woman. Even if she is your mother, you should definitely cover your private parts. So then he thought, oh yes, maybe I should do that. So he put a cloth or something around there, and he went before his mother, and she uncovered her eyes, and she saw him. And because she had kept her eyes covered like that, she had great potency. It said that the potency of being a chaste wife, it's very powerful. It creates power within the woman. So she was very powerful. And as soon as she saw him, she made him invincible except for one spot. Ah, and that's where she had covered herself, right? Himself. So then she said, why? I told you to come naked. He said, but Krishna told me. Krishna is so tricky, right? All through the Mahabharata, he does so many tricks that help the Pandavas. So in that way, he was vulnerable. So this is Gandhari, and she is such an amazing person. So here it's saying that how here Draupadi, it says Gandhari and the older ladies couldn't have possibly been there because Draupadi wouldn't have talked so freely. And why is that? Why wouldn't Draupadi talk freely in front of her elders? Anybody know? Respect, that's right. It's a very important quality, and we have to learn that. That when we see superiors speaking, we don't butt in and act like, even if we know something better, or we don't, it's called butting in, but I don't know the other word. You probably understand. Yeah, maybe interject or, you know, two elders are speaking. We don't come in and say, oh, we did this today. Or we don't do that. We come in quietly and we wait for the conversation to finish. And then we'll say, if it's something really important, we'll say, excuse me, please, can I? So here Draupadi and the queens are talking very, oh, and what did Krishna do then? Or how did you marry Krishna? Or say, oh, my father did this. They're talking very freely. Okay, when we're sitting with friends, we can speak like that, very freely, talking. But when there's a grown-up comes in, then maybe the conversation goes a bit quiet and we allow them to speak. So it's like that. So they say, because of that, we know that they weren't there because they talked so freely like that. So also there's the question of the gopis, okay, and they were shedding tears. And actually, I was looking at Sharartha Darshini, and it said there by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that they were not present, the gopis, at that time. They weren't there. But they had heard about all of this, okay, just like Gandhari and the others. They had heard about this when everyone got back to Dwarka. So the gopis, it said that there they were at Kurukshetra. Okay, and Krishna's there. And they'd been desiring this for so long to see Krishna. And their desire was being fulfilled. But what's the difference between being at Kurukshetra with all Krishna and his queens and he's as a king and in Vrindavan? What's the difference? What do you think the difference would be that Krishna being one place and another? Yes? Yes. In Vrindavan, yes, he's with the gopis in his different pastimes. And what does he look like when he's in Vrindavan? A cowherd boy, yes. But when he's in Dwarka, what does he look like? A king, yes. So kings and cowherd boys are quite different, aren't they? There's a bit of a difference. What's one of the differences? What does a king have that a cowherd boy doesn't have? So, yeah. Different types of clothes. Well, yes, he's very opulent, a king. Yes? And Dwarka is so opulent. There are so many palaces. Every one of Krishna's queens has a palace. And they're all serving with great reverence, right? He's the king. He's so important. So they're all serving with great reverence there. But Krishna in Vrindavan, how do they serve him there? What do the cowherd boys do with Krishna in Vrindavan? They play with him. They'll wrestle with him. They'll say, "You'll never beat me. We're the strongest. Come on, Krishna, we'll fight with you." Yeah? Or they'll say, "Oh, you lost. Now you have to carry us on your shoulders." Yeah? So, and you know what Prabhupada asked? Who's the strongest, would you say? Krishna or Balaram? Balaram. Why? Because he's older. Well, you know what Srila Prabhupada said? It's Krishna. Because Balaram's on his shoulder. Look how he's resting his arm on his shoulder. So they're playing pastimes like that. They're fighting and wrestling and having fun. Yes, and the gopis come and they're teasing them or breaking their pots of yogurt and butter. Yeah, so it's all familiar. There's no big on reverence there, right? So this is the difference between Vrindavan and Dwarka. So when they're all meeting, and they're meeting in a holy place, what holy place is it that they're at? Kurukshetra, yes. And if you remember in the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, it said that this is a place of pilgrimage. Kurukshetra has been a place of pilgrimage for so many millions of years, even before they fought the battle. Because if you notice, when they come to that battlefield, what does Dhritarashtra ask? Does anybody know? That's right. He says, "What do my sons and the sons of Pandu do when they arrived on this sacred battlefield?" So it explains that, Srila Prabhupada explains that he knew that this battlefield was a sacred holy place and that that would favor the Pandavas over the Kauravas. So here they are at a sacred spot, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that they had no loving pastimes there because it's a holy place of pilgrimage. And when you go to holy place of pilgrimage, you do austerities, right? There's austerities that you do when you go on pilgrimage. So there was no intimate pastimes with the gopis there. So there was no question of them being envious in a way. They were just shedding tears because they loved hearing about Krishna. Right? It was just, he's the Lord of their life. And to see him and then to hear about his pastimes, and to see how these queens love Krishna. But there's a difference between the two loving Krishna. One is loving Krishna as a king, okay? And it's with opulence. And they're getting something also from this loving Krishna, right? Whereas the gopis, they're getting nothing by loving Krishna. They're giving everything to Krishna. Do you know the story about Krishna having a headache? Yes. So in that pastime, Krishna, they go around, "Could you give your dust from your lotus feet?" They go to the brahmanas, they go to all the different devotees, and what do they say? No. Why? Why would they say no? Krishna's asking. That's right. That's right. That's right. They said, "We don't care. Even if we do go to hell, if it's going to help Krishna get rid of that headache, we'll do that for him." So in that way, there's a difference between their love for Krishna. And that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the highest love for Krishna is that of the queens? The gopis, yes. The gopis in Vrindavan. So that's the highest form. So in that way, when they're speaking of the pastimes of them marrying Krishna. The gopis appreciated Krishna, but they weren't appreciating so much them being married to a king. They loved Krishna, and that's where the Rathyatra comes from. Do you know what the Rathyatra stands for? Why are you pulling Lord Jagannath, Subhadra, and Baladev? Garanga? That's right, because they said, we want to see you as a cowherd boy. We don't want to see you as this big king. Please come back. So they're pulling him back on this Rathyatra cart. So when you're pulling Jagannath, Subhadra, and Baladev's cart, you're pulling Krishna back to Vrindavan, okay, so that they can perform their pastimes there. And I was going to speak a little bit about Jagadish Pandit and also Srila Jiva Goswami. I don't know a lot, but I'm sure there's others that could put forward things. But Jagadish Pandit, he was one of the two brothers whom Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to get the feast on Ekadasi day. One day he was crying, and they were all saying, what do you want? What can we do for you? What would you like to stop you crying? And he said, my friends Jagadish Pandit and Hiranya are making a big feast for Lord Vishnu, and I'm feeling very sick, and if I get that, I'll feel better. So they were all saying, how does he know that they're making a feast at their house? But when they went there, they saw certainly there was a feast going on there. And Jagadish Pandit became so ecstatic that the Lord was wanting some of that feast for himself. So they got it and brought it back, and he was very happy. And it's also said that once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to his home, and when he was leaving, his wife became crying. She was crying so much in separation already. He's leaving us. And at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave her a deity of himself that's apparently still worshipped there. And is it in Orissa? Or in... Yeah, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it describes how to get to that place and see the deity of Garanga Mahaprabhu. So those are the only two things I know about Jagadish Pandit. Do you have anything else to add? Anybody know more? Okay, and Srila Jiva Goswami, I mean, we know he is the greatest scholar. Some places it's said that he's the greatest scholar in the history of India. It's said that he wrote 1 million Sanskrit verses, which is pretty amazing. And all about devotional service and the how to perform that, and about the loving pastimes of Sri Krishna. And I thought it was interesting that this verse was today, because one of the controversies in our Vaishnav Sampradaya is about one of his books. I think it was the Champu... Wasn't it there where he said that the gopis eventually would get married to Krishna? And then it became a controversy that, what do you mean? The gopis are always svakya, parakya. And so then it started a controversy in the Vaishnav Sampradaya. But we know through the different Goswamis, and also Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and actually I noticed in the Brahma Samhita, I was looking up the sloka about the Radharani in there, and the whole purport, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, practically the second half is all about Srila Jiva Goswami, and how can people think that he doesn't know the conclusion of the Siddhanta of the Vaishnav philosophy. They're saying he's learned all of this from Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. How would he not know the reality that the Parakia Ras is the highest, and there's no Svakia tinge to it. Also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a whole portion which I'd like to read about, just a little bit about his life that Srila Prabhupada talked about. In the Gaura Gonadesh Dipika, it is said that Srila Jiva Goswami was formerly Vilas Manjari Gopi. From his very childhood, Jiva Goswami was greatly fond of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He later came to Navadvip to study Sanskrit, and following in the footsteps of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, he circumambulated the entire Navadvip Dham. After visiting Navadvip Dham, he went to Benares to study Sanskrit under Madhusudan Vachaspati. And after finishing his studies in Benares, he went to the Vrindavan and took shelter of his uncles, Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. This is described in the Bhakti Ratnakara. As far as our information goes, Srila Jiva Goswami composed and edited at least 25 books. They are all very much celebrated, and they are listed as follows. 1. The Hari Namamrita Vyakarana. 2. Sutra Malika Dhatu Sangraha. Madhava Mahotsav. Sri Shankalpa Kalpa Vriksha. Bhakti Bhavarta Suchaka Champu. And then he goes on, 25 of them. Then, after the disappearance of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami in Vrindavan, Srila Jiva Goswami became the acharya of all the Vaishnavas in Bengal, Orissa, and the rest of the world. And it is he who used to guide them in their devotional service. In Vrindavan, he established the Radha Damodar Temple, where after retirement, we had the opportunity to live from 1962 to 1965, when we decided to come to the United States of America. When Jiva Goswami was still present, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami compiled his famous Chaitanya Charitamrita. Later, Srila Jiva Goswami inspired Srinivas Acharya, Nartam Das Thakur, and Duki Krishnadas to preach Krishna consciousness in Bengal. Jiva Goswami was informed that all the manuscripts had been collected from Vrindavan and sent to Bengal for preaching purposes, were plundered near Vishnupura in Bengal, but later he received the information that the books had been recovered. Sri Jiva Goswami awarded the designation Kaviraj to Ramchandra Sen, a disciple of Srinivas Acharya's, and to Ramchandra's younger brother, Govinda. While Jiva Goswami was alive, Srimati Janavi Devi, the pleasure potency of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, went to Vrindavan with a few devotees. Jiva Goswami was very kind to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the Vaishnavas from Bengal. Whoever went to Vrindavan, he provided with a residence and prasadam. His disciple, Krishnadas Adhikari, listed all the books of the Goswamis in his diary. The Sahajiyas leveled three accusations against Srila Jiva Goswami. This is certainly not congenial for the execution of devotional service. The first accusation concerns a materialist who was very proud of his reputation as a great Sanskrit scholar, and approached Srila Rupa and Sanatan to argue with them about the revealed scriptures. Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, not wanting to waste their time, gave him a written statement that he had defeated them in a debate on revealed scriptures. Taking this paper, the scholar approached Jiva Goswami for a similar certificate of defeat. But Jiva Goswami did not agree to give him one. On the contrary, he argued with him regarding the scriptures and defeated him. Certainly, it was right for Jiva Goswami to stop such a dishonest scholar from advertising that he had defeated Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. But due to their illiteracy, the Sahajiya class referred to this incident to accuse Srila Jiva Goswami of deviating from the principle of humility. They do not know, however, that humility and meekness are appropriate when one's own honor is insulted, but not when Lord Vishnu or the Acharyas are blasphemed. In such cases, one should not be humble and meek, but must act. One should follow the example given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya says in his Sri Shikshastaka, Trinadapi sunichena tororapi sahishnina amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy names of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking himself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. Nevertheless, when the Lord was informed that Nityananda Prabhu was injured by Jagai and Madai, he immediately went to that spot, angry like fire, wanting to kill them. Thus Lord Chaitanya has explained his verse by the example of his own behavior. One should tolerate insults against oneself, but when there is blasphemy committed against superiors, such as other Vaishnavas, one should be neither humble nor meek. One must take proper steps to counteract such blasphemy. This is the duty of a servant of a guru and Vaishnavas. Anyone who understands this principle of eternal servitude to the guru and Vaishnavas will appreciate the action of Srila Jiva Goswami in connection with the so-called scholar's victory over his gurus, Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatan Goswami. Also, the conclusion of that story was very nice because Srila Rupa Goswami, when he heard about that, he banished Jiva Goswami from his association. And he went and stayed in a cave somewhere in Vrindavan, and he just performed austerities and chanted. And finally, one day, Sanatan Goswami went to Rupa Goswami and said, what was that? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called Jiva Doya. Are you Jiva Doya? Why are you not acting upon that? And what is Jiva Doya? It's merciful to the Jiva. So then he understood, oh, Jiva Goswami. So then he accepted him back into his association. But he was just pointing out that he shouldn't have felt himself higher than Rupa and Sanatan, that he should defeat him when they had already just signed the paper and let that go. But here Srila Prabhupada's saying, but that was very important that he did stop him by defeating him with his words and scriptural knowledge. Another story fabricated to defame Srila Jiva Goswami states that when Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami showed him the newly completed manuscript of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jiva Goswami thought it would hamper his reputation as a big scholar and therefore threw it into a well. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was greatly shocked, according to this story, and he died immediately. Fortunately, a copy of the manuscript of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita had been kept by a person named Mukunda, and therefore later it was possible to publish the book. This story is another ignominious. What's that word? Ignominious. Example of blasphemy against a guru and a Vaishnava. Such a story should never be accepted as authoritative. According to another accusation, Srila Jiva Goswami did not approve of the principles of the Parakya Ras, a Braj Dham, and therefore supported the Svakya Ras, showing that Radha and Krishna are eternally married. Actually, when Jiva Goswami was alive, some of his followers disliked the Parakya Ras of the gopis. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami, for their spiritual benefit, supported Svakya Ras, for he could understand that Sahajiyas would otherwise exploit the Parakya Ras, as they are actually doing at this present time. Unfortunately, in Vrindavan and Navadvip, it has become fashionable amongst Sahajiyas, in their debauchery, to find an unmarried sexual partner to live with to execute so-called devotional service in Parakya Ras. Foreseeing this, Srila Jiva Goswami supported Svakya Ras, and later all the Vaishnavacharyas also approved of it. Srila Jiva Goswami was never opposed to the transcendental Parakiya Ras, nor has any other Vaishnav disapproved of it. Srila Jiva Goswami strictly followed his predecessor gurus and Vaishnavas, Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, and Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami accepted him as one of his instructing gurus. So Srila Prabhupada, he clears up all of these misconceptions here. And in this Brahma Samhita, Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, he said, Jiva Goswami was seeing all of these sahajiyas performing so many abominable things in the name of Vaishnavism. And he could not stand seeing that, so he stopped it, Jiva Goswami, by saying that this Parakiya was higher. Svakiya was higher, and that eventually the Parakiya turned into Svakiya, so that they would stop representing themselves as gopis. And then he said, here, Jiva Goswami is understood to be a Manjari. How would he, you know, put this forward? So there's no question of that. But to save these disciples of his from falling down into hellish situations, he propounded that so that they could stay in that situation and not commit blasphemy or offenses. But here Srila Prabhupada said, even so, still there is a certain class that still was following this and blaspheming a great devotee like Jiva Goswami. It reminded me of Srila Prabhupada said that then you know that you are preaching when you have others fighting against you or saying that, you know. So here are all these sahajiyas and different Vaishnavas finding fault with Jiva Goswami because he was such a powerful preacher and such a great preacher of the Vaishnav cult. Okay, so I'll stop there. It's as far as my intelligence will go. And if anybody has anything to add, please do, or any questions or comments or corrections. Anyone? Oh, Pran Govinda, Prabhu. Yes, I'm sure you have lots of nectar.
Came Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur as the head of the Vaishnavism in India at that time. So he confronted with the same group, with the opposition in a such a way that after Mangalarti, he had a route to go from his Gokulananda ashram to Mangalarti place. So there was a forest that he had to go through. And Jiva Goswami Pad's, those followers who thought that Sakya, now in that reference, Jiva Goswami Pad also mentioned that there is a planet abode in Golok Vrindavan where Radha Krishnas are eternally married. It's not that Radha Krishna is not married, that is not right. They both are there. But superior to married abode, there is unmarried or Parakiya, paramount, is the highest in the Golok Vrindavan hierarchies. So right after Mangalarti, this is a long walk, so they planned to kill Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. And he was not a big leader of Vaishnavism yet, after that incident. So it's kind of like a negative, but it actually established a positive. That when they plot to kill him, they were about 200, those Babaji dress, smarto, kind of a mix, contaminated. So because Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur was very heavy on establishing the Parakiya Leela as the highest. So right after Mangalarti, when he was going through, they all attacked from different area. It was a kind of a dark, not visible. So they didn't know. And then after they all entered into the forest, they found one little girl from nowhere. And there was a moon shines through that some space where this girl plucking flower. And they were all shocked in the middle of the forest. So they asked all these old Babajis and others, "Have you seen the old man coming by?" She said, "I don't know who is old man. I'm busy plucking flower for my Shamini Radharani." And they were like so amazed. So they almost like fainting. Then after they thought, how she comes in the middle of the forest? We are very fortunate to meet. So they started glorifying, "You are serving Srimati Radharani. This is so great." They kind of forgot that they are looking for Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. They wanted to kill him.
Was it Jiva Goswami or Vishwanath Chakravarti?
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Okay. And they are the follower of Jiva Goswami, yeah, who want to kill Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So then after a while, they were like looking at her while they are chanting, and they saw this little girl transform into that old Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Then they bow down and pleaded guilty and asked for forgiveness. From that day, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, because Prabhupada loved Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur,
yeah,
and he established that point very heavily. Mm. But Parokya is higher than Sakya.
Thank you. Yes, Prabhupada.
Do we often, there is a strong emphasis on not finding fault if you never found fault? But apparently with the story of Jiva Goswami, it is something that is sometimes required. Can you comment on when it's okay to find fault? With other Vaishnavas or authorities?
Okay, I didn't quite understand the question. Could you say it one more time? I'm sorry.
So, Jiva Goswami gave us an example of somebody who can find fault with apparently very high advanced Vaishnavas. So, on the other hand, there is this saying that you should never find fault with anybody. So, when is it okay to find fault with even higher authorities than yourself?
Which were you considering that he was finding fault with a higher authority? Which pastime?
What did one just talk about?
Oh, but that wasn't, they were finding fault with him.
Oh.
He wasn't finding fault with them.
I see.
I don't, and when Rupa Goswami found fault with him, that was because he was their disciple. You see, so it's another, what Prabhupada said, disciple, it's my duty to chastise my disciples and to find fault with them so they can remain humble. So Rupa Goswami chastising Jiva Goswami was only for that purpose. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't that they weren't pleased that he had defeated this rascal scholar who thought, you know, he'd go around and defeat the Goswamis. But I don't understand which pastime that he was finding fault with others. Does anybody? I'm sorry. Oh yeah. Did you think the scholar was a devotee? Okay. Because he was just a scholar, you know, that was going around defeating all the greatest scholars so that he could say, like a Digvijay, you know, so he could say, "I'm the greatest scholar." He wasn't a Vaishnav, per se.
Actually, Digvijay. His name is Rupa Narayan.
Rupa Narayan.
Yeah, and the next
generation. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, next generation, he was actually got blessing from Narottam Das Thakur. There's a beautiful pastimes.
Ah.
But he had that kind of a doubt because he remembers that Jiva Goswami Pad smashed him. But then Narottam Das Thakur in pastimes. Anyway, it's in big pastimes, but beautiful, that where he got the mercy of Narottam Das Thakur.
Oh, nice. So he was a devotee, but he was questioning.
He was not a devotee. He was a scholar.
Okay.
Vedanti
yeah,
scholar.
Yeah.
Later on, he became a Vaishnava.
Okay.
When Jiva Goswami defeated this scholar, he didn't just defeat him. I understood that he, as Pran Govinda Prabhu mentioned, smashed. But do you know some of the detail on how much, what happened to that scholar at the end of the conversation?
You know, I was looking. I have a book. You know the book about the Goswamis, and it has a hole, and I could not find it anywhere to. And I'm sorry, my memory isn't.
Now, there's two pastimes. Uh-huh. We cannot mix those two. One is Jiva Goswami Pad when he was going to Jamuna, Vallabhacharya.
Uh-huh.
Vallabhacharya, Rupa Goswami Pad asked him to correct nectar devotion. I mean, I should not say nectar devotion. Prabhupada put that name. It was Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Mangalacharan. We are not talking about that part.
No.
This is also a big challenge where Jiva Goswami Pad actually, Rupa Goswami Pad told him to leave. That's where it comes. But then there's another incident where the Rupa Narayan came and he gave the paper to Rupa Sanatan, please sign the paper. And just by seeing that, he said, okay, we'll sign the paper. They're not even interested.
Mm-hmm.
But then Jiva Goswami Pad, he smashed. But there is a beautiful dialogue how he smashed. But it takes, you know, 45 minutes, 1 hour. Very nice dialogue. How he smashed.
Maybe tonight.
Yeah. No, I love those dialogues. It's very nice.
Yeah.
So I could remove my doubts.
Yeah. Nice.
All right. So, Pran, I don't know if I heard the pastime correctly, but you were saying that Jiva Goswami's disciples wanted to kill Vishvanath Chakravarti because he had a different appreciation of Rasa Tattva. So with that happening in ISKCON today, how do we handle it?
Don't ask me. That could be a topic for a GBC discussion or something. Okay, Jai. One more? Okay. Did you want to say more? No, that was the one that you were talking about? Okay, sorry. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Jiva Goswami ki jai, Srila Jagadas Pandit, Jagadish Pandit ki jai.